prettiest kids ever, you know. And, you know, we've all seen those kids who aren't pretty, and we say they are anyways. And you say you don't, but you're lying. You know, I got to say, and Judy might agree, you know, Finley is that was a work of God. I mean, that baby is, I mean, from the skin to the eyes to the nose, it looks like that thing was, you know, crafted by a small little a scalpel, you know, every little piece of this child. It is a beautiful, beautiful baby. And got to see Kelsey yesterday, and unfortunately, I think Miss Sue fell, coming home yesterday. And so, I don't know if she did a face plant. I don't know if it was that big, but it was a pretty hard fall. And she's sick, so we want to keep Mr. and Miss Calvin and Sue, and keep them in your prayers. Also keep Kelsey in your prayers, and keep baby Finley in your prayers. I think she was supposed to have a shower today, actually, so that kind of got pushed back. Maybe it was yesterday. So, but do keep that whole family in your prayers as they adjust to new normals of what life's going to be. When you grow, when your family gets bigger, so like when you have new, when you have kids, or when you have, you know, new in-laws or things like that, y'all know just as much as I do that stuff has to change, and we all know that. You know, you get kids, you know, you got to redo a room. When the kids leave, you got to turn the room into your exercise room. And then they move back home, and now you got to give it back to them, you know. Or some of you don't. Some of you just say, you know, you change the locks. I don't know what some of you do. But, you know, this is what happens. You know, families change, and family has to move stuff around. And nobody likes to, you know, nobody likes to change, but that's just what happens. Just in the past 2 years that I've been here, Una has changed. You know, our makeup of who we are is not who we were 10 years ago. The size of who we are is not what we were 10 years ago. When I got here, I think two services before I got here, we were averaging 110 to 115 upstairs and about 50 to 60 downstairs. And now we average from 190 to 200, not today because there's these big gaping holes right here. In the middle, because the middle is contaminated, I think. Nobody likes to sit in the middle. It's toxic, so don't touch the middle or the front. So the average up here is about 190 to 200, which we have, you know, room for that, because our auditorium was built for, I don't know what, 400 or 500. So sure, we got plenty of room. That's why it always looks empty, because we're supposed to have 500 and we never have even half. So that's why we look empty. But downstairs, our Hispanic brothers and sisters, you know, they're averaging about 100 people. Down there. And so in just the 2 years that I've been here, if you look at a graph, Una's graph shot up, and it shot up everywhere. And so, like, you know, any family, we got to figure out how to have all those. We have we have quite a few older Hispanic brothers and sisters downstairs who, like you and I, have, you know, body issues the older we get. And so going up and down the stairs, they go down the stairs to worship, they come back up for coffee, they go back down for class, they come back up at night, they go downstairs for Sunday evening service, they come back up. And they have just as many issues as you and I have, and then some of them can't even make it to service because their knees just can't take it. So we have those issues. Other issues are that we have a larger group downstairs in a room that really wasn't built for a group that size. And so they're pushing at the seams. Now, they don't have problems hearing because Mo, if you've ever heard him, if you remember Todd Elliott, they're kind of in the same thing. You know, they don't need a microphone. They can, I do, especially on a day like today when my voice is barely hanging on. But they don't have those issues. But it's just, you know, time after time after time. You know, we up here, when it gets cold in here, when it gets cold in the auditorium, which I think it's always cold in the auditorium, and so I like it to be hot. And I like, you know, I like heat. And those of you who know me, you know that. I like to be warm. I don't want to be cold. So I'll, you know, ask Ken Henson or somebody else, turn the heat up. Well, that's great. Downstairs, when you turn the heat up, it just blows like a furnace down there. And so it's heating us all. So, yeah, I feel good, and I will sweat them out down there. You know, I'll go downstairs, and, you know, they're, you know, doing this, and I'm thinking, what's your problem? You know, a few months ago, the elders met and talked about how do we fix some of our growing pains. And we've got members down there who just can't take the stairs. And they asked me, and they asked themselves, and they asked other members questions. And the questions are like, what if it was us? What if it's us who go up and down the stairs for service, and up and down the stairs to go to class, and up and down the stairs to do that? How would I feel? How would I think? And they asked, how do we get together, or how do we solve it? And so they had a committee get together, and it was an amazing thing to watch. I've seen churches who have an Hispanic group and an Anglican group, and they're all trying to talk, and the Hispanic group is never in the room. You know, it's like we talk about them, we don't talk to them. And I'm sitting in this elders meeting, and there's me, and there's Mo, and then there's the elders, and then there's two people who attend up here, and then there are three Hispanic brothers who are downstairs, and they're all talking in the same room. Now, some of which I can't understand, so they're translating. And they went through all of these different options. Can we have two different services? Because they can't stay where they are. So do we have two different services? So maybe we'll try to have, you know, do they go later? Do we want to go later? And we always ask the question, what would we want to do? How would it feel to us? And they also asked, one of their biggest concerns is, what they tried to do was maybe split up services, and then it split up time. So we could all share this auditorium. And that sounds like a great idea. Here's another problem. You know, when you get more people, you got more problems. You change one thing, you change everything. Our youth group is a pretty big group. You know, John Green mentioned the other night when he and Jennifer started, they went to a youth function, and how many kids showed up, John? One, yeah. You know, they came here to get the church bus and had to go get the church key, and one person showed up, and then they decided, well, we don't even need the church bus. We'll just take, you know, the green van. So, you know, they took that. We got a group of 40 going to Winterfest this year. And we're packed at the gills here at hotels. And if you don't think that's a great thing, think again. And a youth group is white, black, and brown. It's just an eclectic group. It doesn't look like any other youth group of Church of Christ that I've seen. So the Greens have done a marvelous job. And I knew and what the elders wanted to do was it was imperative that youth group stay together. We didn't want two youth groups now or two groups. I say all that to say this. The solution is, after much debate and much prayer and much meeting and changing and trying to figure out the best scenario, over the next few months, our Hispanic brothers and sisters will be moving upstairs. And what we've decided to do, I say the elders, because it makes me feel like I have power, but I really don't. But the elders have decided that room 127 and the care center is a rather large area, and that will be overhauled to use as a place for our Spanish brothers and sisters to worship. Now, those of you who've been here a long time, you know what we use 127 for and what we use the care center for. Every month, some of you are actually asking, when are we going to get to the sermon? I'm getting to it, but this is important. The care center, once a month we do a Second Harvest food giveaway. So we've got, you know, the carts, and we've got all these things. Second Harvest is actually discontinuing that. And so we won't even be doing that once a month giveaway anymore anyways. We still have our Second Harvest on Wednesdays and prepare for it on Tuesdays. And the elders have been through that. They've had committees looking and back. I mean, they have been doing this for months, trying to figure out every possible scenario. So things have to be moved. They've got a couple of rooms that they're going to use. Children's Church has actually changed since it began a year ago. They actually have two groups, so Children's Church has to change. Things do have to change. Things do have to move. You know, can we do that? You know, I thought we had budget issues. The Spanish brothers and sisters said, you know, they've taken up a collection. They're volunteering their time. They're paying for it. So every last detail has been thought about. Now, did everything get solved? I'm sure there's something. But a lot of prayer and a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of commitment went into this to make sure that the new UNA, as we are, stays united. And the most interesting part about the whole, I was sitting in there with these group of men, and I'm in wonder watching them and listening to one of our Hispanic brothers, and he's talking about why it was imperative for them to be upstairs. And he never said so that we could have a bigger space or so that we don't have to because we want to, you know, we want to be up here too. Or there was no selfish motivation. The number one reason he gave to be upstairs, the number one reason that they gave to be upstairs was because they wanted to be with us. That was their number one reason. And they said 15 minutes over here is good, but we like to be close. And I thought, you know, I wish we'd all have that attitude. So I hope that you will. Hey, I don't like change. I know some of you are real surprised about that. I don't like change. When Microsoft comes out with a new update, I always call and complain. I mean, always. I don't care how good it is. I will call and complain about that update. When iPhone, I still have not done the update on my iPhone. I refuse because I know it's going to change something. I don't like change at all. I don't like changing my dinner time. I like eating at 5:30, and my wife hasn't understood that yet. I like the same thing every time. I like it. Everybody wants progress, but nobody wants change. Church, you ain't getting one without the other. And so I hope that you will support our elders and welcome our brothers and sisters as they make their way upstairs. They'll be there, I'm sure, in a few months. There are some things they that we'll be putting together. But the elders wanted you to know what's going on. They don't want to do, you know, they're not doing anything in secret or in private. They wanted you to know what's going on. They wanted you to know all the time and effort that's been put into that. So if you have any questions, I'm sure you can ask the elders. I'm sure they'd be glad to talk to you about it. But in the next few months, that's what's going to happen. And I hope that we can all embrace change. And if you think this is the last thing that will change, think again. Because although I don't like change, change comes anyways. So we just have to embrace it and move on. Speaking of moving on, how about we do that? If you've got your Bibles and you see that Brother Johnny was in 1 John this morning, I want to show you a phrase, I think. Is it ready to go? You sure? There it is. I'm going to show you this phrase right here. And if you saw in the bulletin, this is the title of the sermon. Once a Christian, always a Christian. I think that if we can wrap our minds around this phrase, this statement, then we might realize one of the greatest messages of the Bible. But first, two things. Number one, I want you to notice there's a question mark at the end of this. So I didn't say, once a Christian, always a Christian. I said, once a Christian, always a Christian. Y'all hear the difference? I'm not telling you something, I'm asking you something. Now, we're supposed to be going through the book of Matthew this year. Well, I didn't make it long at all, did I? And then I got off course. There are certain times this year that I will deviate and ask you questions because I want to pause and talk about central core beliefs that I think this church needs to have. And so I'm asking you this question. I'm not telling you what to believe, but I'm asking you this question, and I'm going to show you the Bible and then leave it up to you. You can answer yes or no. So I thought what I would do is say, once a Christian, always a Christian, let's vote. But we won't do that. Just, you know, you can vote in your mind. I hope at the end we can all agree on this statement. Second thing, this statement is not once saved, always saved. Okay? I didn't say that. I said, once a Christian, always a Christian. And there's a difference between the phrases. And I want to show you, maybe we say it like this. How about this? Once you're a child of God, are you always a child of God? So once you become a child of God, aren't you always a child of God? Now, some of us are already shaking our heads no, so don't do that too audibly. Some of us are, I don't know. What I want to do this morning is show you, yes, I think you are. But it doesn't necessarily mean what you think. So while we're in 1 John, we're gonna kind of hop around a little bit. You're going to need your Bibles or your iPads. We're going to kind of move around a little bit. I want to start in Ephesians chapter 1, all right? So we're going to go back to 1 John, so you may need to put a finger or a ribbon in that. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, and what I want to do is to show you how being a child of God starts. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. I want to show you just three separate verses here. See if I can show you something. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, this is the text behind us. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters. God adopted us. We are his children. But look at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You become a child of God, you get forgiveness, period. That's what happens. You become a child of God, you get forgiveness. We all know Acts 2:38. We all grew up in the Church of Christ. That's how I know you grew up in the Church of Christ. If you don't know Acts 2:38, you say you grew up in the church, you're lying. Ain't no way. You had to have heard that verse at least 10 times a Sunday if you really grew up in the church. So Peter looked at them, or repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the... All right, we're going to try this again. All right, here we go. We're going back up. All right. I feel like I'm not in the Church of Christ. You know, okay. So Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ some of you have remission of your sins. Some of you have forgiveness of sins. This is a tried and true verse, okay? For the forgiveness of your sins. If you don't know that verse, you need to know that verse. Okay, that's ABCs. We gotta know that verse. So if you don't know that verse, that's the assignment for this week. Go know that verse. Repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So if you get baptized, if you become a Christian, you get forgiveness of sins. Are we all good so far? We all good? Okay, thanks for the audibly yes. All right. So you get baptized, you get forgiveness of sins. All right, one more time. You get baptized, you get forgiveness of sins. You do one, you get the other. I'm not saying you earned it. I'm not saying anything beyond what I'm saying this morning, all right? Now, if there's ever any question, get the CD. We still do CDs, so get that, all right? You get, one more time, it's number 4. You get baptized, you get forgiveness of sins. It's that easy, all right? Ephesians says that. Acts 2:38 says that. But Ephesians also says you get something else. Look at verse 13. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who, he says in verse 14, is a deposit guaranteeing our what? Inheritance. All right, so you get baptized, you get forgiveness of sins, all right? And if you get baptized, if you become a Christian, you get an inheritance, right? We all still good? That's two basic things. If you become a Christian, you receive your sins are forgiven. And now, because you're a child of God, you get an inheritance. Yeah, it's nice. You get an inheritance. And I'm just using as example, I'm not, you know, trying, but, you know, Jaheim is, you know, Jaheim doesn't look like me. If you're visiting, Jaheim is black, I'm white. Unless you're colorblind, you know, obviously, I'm not biologically his father. If you didn't know that, you know, see me afterwards and we'll talk about how to maybe, you know, correct some of this with you. But obviously, but legally, I'm his father. Legally. So I get to do whatever I want. To an extent. You know, but I can't. Legally, I'm his dad. Legally. Kimberly was telling me about, Kimberly works for Friendship Christian in Lebanon. She's the admissions director. Her title makes her sound really cool. I wish I had that kind of title, like director, you know. She was downstairs and she was leading a tour and Jaheim walked in. He just got done working out. And Jaheim's kind of a big kid. You know, he's pretty solid. But so he's got this muscle shirt on just to embarrass everybody else around him who's not as cut as he is. And he comes out in this muscle shirt and he didn't know she was there and he comes out and he just waves and he says, hey, and he keeps walking. And the woman who Kim's giving the tour to, she's staring at Jaheim and she said, wow. She said, that boy is huge. And Kim said, that's my son. And kept walking. And she said, Adam, that woman didn't believe me. She said, she just thought I was bragging. You know, he's a good looking kid. You know, he's cut. You know, of course, that's my son. And she said, I swear the woman rolled her eyes. You know, what kind of school is it? Yeah. So, you know, people see that and they think, you know, is this your son or, you know, is this not? And, but legally he's mine. So, and he knows this, legally he's in my will as a son. So, you know, Brooks is still a little cheesed about it, but he's getting over it. You know, You know, so there's Jaheim, and there's Brooks, and there's Izzy, and they get an inheritance because he's mine. He's my son. Y'all see how that works? This is not new to anybody, I hope. When you become a child of God, you get an inheritance because you're his child. You get both. Why is that? If you notice this right here, there's multiple times in the Bible. Oh, I should have showed you that. That looked better. Multiple times in the Bible, the reason this happens, look at that word blood. You are redeemed through his blood in Ephesians. You were justified by his blood, Romans 5. You're cleansed by his blood, Hebrews 9:14. You have Christ's blood in you. You have God's DNA running through your veins. And because you have his blood, you are his child. Those two gifts, forgiveness of sins and an inheritance, are only available to the children of God. Y'all agree? You can only have forgiveness of sins. You can only have the Holy Spirit. You can only have heaven if you are a child of God. Jesus says this. Nothing new. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Do we all remember the second half of that verse? No one goes to the Father except through me. Forgiveness of sins only comes, heaven only comes to a child of God. Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. You can only be saved if you're a child of God. That's it. And now we go to the verse that Johnny read. 1 John chapter 3. And if you left there, go back to that. I want to go back to that. And I want to read this again. 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, all who have this hope in him purify themselves. There are those who have this hope, and there are those who do not. There are two separate groups. So I return to my original question. If you are a part of that group, if you are a child of God, aren't you always a child of God? If you are a Christian, aren't you always a Christian? If you have Christ's blood, is there ever a point to where you don't have Christ's blood? We've looked at a lot of texts. How about I just ask you a question? Let me give you a scenario, okay? Someone comes to you, and they tell you they want to turn their life around. They've done some horrible things. And they ask you if you think they might be forgiven of all that they've done. And you, because you're a good Christian, you tell them, of course there is. Can they be forgiven without coming into contact with Jesus? Well, no. So you say, yes, you can be forgiven. And so you talk to them about confession, and you talk to them about repentance, and you talk to them about baptism, and we talk to them about these basic core beliefs that we all have, and you talk to them about coming with Christ, and they believe you, and they repent of everything that they've done, and they really want to change their life, and they're changing it, and they've confessed to all of you. They believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we baptize them in the water, and they come out, and we clap, and we sing, and we gather around them, and we pray. And now forgiveness comes, right? Would forgiveness have been available if they chose not to become a Christian? The answer is no, because it's only available to a child of God. But now a second question. What if that same person, 10 years later, you run into him again. You say, hey, brother, I don't know, whoever, whatever, so-and-so. How you doing? And they say, oh, man, I really messed up my life the past 3 or 4 years. And they start telling you about it, and you think, wow, you really have. They say, I need to come back to God. Do you rebaptize them? I like those apples. Or do you just talk to them about asking God for forgiveness? I think all of us are probably going to say the latter, because forgiveness is still available to them. Why is that? Because they're still a child of God. I didn't say they weren't going to heaven, but they're still a child of God. They don't have to get rebaptized. They don't have to become a Christian again. And if they do have to become a Christian again, that means Christ's death is not strong enough to hold. And I know that ain't true. They're still a Christian. It's still available to them. It's not available to you if you're not a Christian, but it's available to you if you are. Did you know that even if God wanted to give you up, he can't? You remember that story in Exodus 32, when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments and they're coming down the mountain and they build the golden calf. And God looks to Moses and he says, "Do you see what your people did?" Y'all ever done that with your kids? Do you know what your daughter did today? You'll never believe what your son did. You remember, he's not yours anymore. It's your spouse's. God says, "Do you see what your people are doing?" Moses says, "My people, I didn't bring them out of here. You brought them out of here." God says, "I'm going to kill them." Sounds like any parent, right? "Yeah, I'm going to kill them." But God's serious. He says, "I'm going to kill them, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to wipe everybody out, and Moses, I'm going to start over with you." And you know what Moses tells God? "You can't do that. You can't do that." You know why? Because they're your children. And you don't get to say, "I don't want to do this anymore." You chose to take them out, so you are stuck with them. Pretty much he told the Lord, "You made your bed, you got to lie in it." And God said, "Fine." And then a little while later in Hosea chapter 1, God tells Hosea, he says, "I want you to have a child with your wife, and I want you to name the child Lo-Ami." And the name Lo-Ami means "not my people." That's your kid's name, "not my people." Because I look at Israel and they're not my people. And then in chapter 11, God has this famous line. He says, "How can I give you up? I'm God, I'm not man. I can't." Even when God says, "Get out and don't come back," he leaves the light on because he knows he can't do that. You're always a child of God. And no matter what you do, there is nothing you can do that will ever make you not a child of God. And church, I got to tell you, there is no more hopeful message in the Bible than that. That I can always come home. Sounds really good. But there is one caveat. Even though you are always a child of God, you can lose your inheritance. Remember Esau? Esau is a child of the promise. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, he says, the ungrateful, the scandalous Esau, who for a bowl of stew sold his inheritance. He despised his birthright. He sold it for some stew. Now, was Esau still a child of God? Israel's traveling through to get to the promised land, and they pass by Edom, all the Esauites, and God says, "Don't touch those. They are your brothers." So Esau's still a child of God. He just lost his inheritance. And church, that happens with you. You're always a child of God, but heaven is determined by whether or not we're going to act like it. I got to meet with a woman. She was an older woman, and she wanted to meet with me about her will. Now, I thought it was because she wanted to put me in it. I was wrong. So when I figured, you know, about 5 minutes in, I was thinking, this is not going the way I thought. You know, I was kind of hoping for a car. And she had a lot of money. She's one of the wealthiest women I've ever met. She has passed away. But I met with her, and she kept talking about what she wanted to do, and I finally said, "You know, sister, said her name, "Why are you meeting with me?" And she said, "Well, I've divided my estate up between my three children." And I said, "Fantastic." And she said, "But my youngest is worthless." And I said, "I would agree," because he was, and he is. So he's worthless. And I said, "I would agree." And she said, "I don't think that I should leave him anything." And I said, "I agree." And I thought, this meeting's going well now. You know, if I didn't get it, at least he's not getting it, you know. And he's worthless. I mean, the guy's worthless. Still is. And I said, I agree. And she said, "I just don't think that I ought to reward a life that's spent in evil." I said, "I would agree." She said, "But he's still my son." And I said, "And I agree." Church, did he stop being her son? Well, no. But the inheritance is based not on whether or not you are a child of your parents. It's based on whether or not they want to give you an inheritance. You see, in America, we've got this pretty messed up. We think we deserve everything. You know, I'm their son, so I deserve that. Oh, no, no. Where'd you get that from? You get an inheritance because your parents gave it to you. They have every right to do whatever they want. I've seen judge after judge after judge look at a biological child and say, "The will says this, you wasted your money. You get nothing." Your inheritance is not based on the blood of Christ. You get it because it's the blood of Christ. But whether or not you receive it is based on whether or not you look like you have the blood of Christ. That's all you. It was given to you not for anything you did. It was given to you because you're his child and you didn't do anything. You can't even baptize yourself. You need somebody else to baptize you. You didn't do anything. But the inheritance is based on whether or not you want to look like it. Let me close with this. There is a big difference. There is a big difference between being a child of God and not. I'm getting to her, by the way. That's not like a missed slide. I'm getting to that. If you're not a child of God this morning, if you're not a child of God, this morning, here's the two things offered to you: forgiveness and an inheritance. You get forgiveness, and you will always be able to be forgiven if you come home. And so for the rest of us who are a child of God, if you've wandered away, let's think to the story of the prodigal son. Did the prodigal ever stop being the son of his father? Did the father ever stop being the father? Even though his son was gone, the father's still the father. And the son can always come home. And this morning, if you are a child of God and you have wandered, you're still his child and you can still come home. But you must come home. You must come home. The picture of this woman back here, I don't know a lot about her, so if it turns out that she was a really bad person, you know, not my fault. But I found her story to be amazing. She goes by this handle as Annie Chass, and that's not her real name. That's just how she goes on Twitter and social media. I'm not on social media a lot, which is why I don't know a lot about her, but I know her face, and I know her story. The last few years, family trees and DNA testing has become a hot commodity. Has anybody in here taken a DNA test in the last, just so like, what, four of us? Anybody in here did take it, but they don't want to raise their hand? Some of you actually raised your hands. I can't believe you did that. Okay. So Annie Chass decided that she wanted to take a DNA test because why not? You know, I don't know. And so you put cotton swab, or you stick a Q-tip in your mouth. They send you a little kit, and you run it in your mouth. It's kind of gross, and then you run it in the little computer, and then it spits out your DNA. And I even did it because I was trying to, I think a couple of weeks ago I told you about the Toon family, and I was trying to figure out, you know, which line, and that's how I knew I came from that woman. DNA testing. It's a cool thing, unless it's a total hoax, and then we all bought into it. But Annie Chass decided she was going to take a DNA test. She knew who her mother was. She was African-American. And her mother was very, very dark-skinned. And now Annie's a little bit lighter-skinned. But her mother said, "You got a lot of that from me. Your father was African." She didn't know who her father was. She said she told her father's name. Your father was African. He was a very, very, very dark man. So Annie Chass took this DNA test. Why? I don't know why we do what we do, but we do. So she took the DNA test, and the test results came back and said she was 23% European. She thought, well, this is strange. So she had her mother take it, and, you know, that'll be fun. So her mother took the DNA test. There's no European blood. So Annie finally went to her mother, and she said, hey, I've got a question. You said my father was African. He's very, very dark skin, and you told me his name. And her mother said, of course, that's what he was. And Annie showed her the DNA results, and she said, well, the DNA's wrong. And Annie said, mother, that's the thing about DNA. If y'all have ever watched the Maury Povich show, you know, you are the father. You know, you're not the father. Anybody watch it? No, I'm kidding. Okay, so, you know, 99.9% correct. And so Annie did it again. Came back exactly the same. She's 23.4% European. She thought, what's going on? So she went back to her mother. She said, mom, there's something going on. What's the deal? And her mother said, fine. Your father is not who I told you he was. This is your father's name. So she did what we would do. What would you do? Hello, Facebook. She enters the name, and there's a guy matching that description right in her same zip code. So she sends him something, and she sends her a picture of herself, and she says, I think you might be my dad. And this guy sends her a message back. He said, baby, I've been looking for you for 31 years. He said, actually, I'm one street over from you the whole time. And I thought, what a beautiful story. Here she was for 31 years. Her father was there the whole time. And all she had to do was find him. Let me ask you something, church. Did she ever stop being his daughter? Ever. His blood runs through her. And no matter how far she thought she was, and no matter who she thought she was always his child. This morning, I cannot tell you how close your father is to you right now. And if you want to come home, all you got to do is reach out. You're still his child. You never stop being his child. We just want you to come home as together we stand and sing.